Where are we going? So what are we going to do this second season?
There's a specific design that we are shooting for.
Faith is not opposed to planning.
What happens when there aren't any foundations?
Satan is working so hard to sully that reputation of Christ.
There's an exploration phase where there's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of study. Welcome to the Lutheran Church Planter, a podcast exploring the theology and the philosophy and the practice of planting Lutheran congregations. My name is Andy Coyle, and I am a church planner and the director of home missions for the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations. And I'm joined by my co-host, Matthew Ballman, church planner down in San Antonio, Texas. And this is the beginning of season two. If you remember, and if you listened last year, we did a whole season on just foundations, a lot of philosophy, a lot of theology, a lot of practice, a lot of good stuff, and I just encourage you to go back and listen to some of those things. But this season, we're going to really dive down and just present the blueprints of what it looks like to start a congregation, how to take all that theology and all that philosophy and how to put it into practice. So we're hoping this season is going to be very practical and super beneficial for you, for anyone. So whether you are a church that is looking at potentially thinking about planning a church or a small group somewhere, or a pastor that wants to, or is praying about planting, we hope this is going to be really, really encouraging for you. So our whole season is just going to be laying out sort of this system of ideas and concepts and things that we need to plan a church. So I used to do 4-H when I was a kid, and I enjoyed doing those things, and I love building things. And sometimes it's fun to just go out and say, hey, I'm going to create something, and without even really thinking, you just grab some wood, you grab some screws or nails or whatever, and you just start putting things together. And sometimes I tell my kids to do the same thing. Hey, go create. Go do something fun. Sometimes they come back with this very interesting looking contraption. Other times they don't come back with anything. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that's the kind of the fun part about it, and that's the creativity that God has given us in life. Building contractors don't do that, though. People that build buildings and houses and schools, they don't do that. They don't just randomly show up on a job site and just start building things. They spend a lot of time going through the process of planning, of thinking, of designing, so that when it actually starts, they know where they're going. They know what they're trying to build, and they know how they're going to do that. So that's kind of the idea of what we're getting at, especially with this very first episode, is just creating the case on why this idea of planning is so important. Why is it so important to just slow down and just think about all the components of what it means to plant a church and to have a plan and to have a timeline and to have a process and to think about our systems? Because the temptation is really just to start really quick. It is the temptation of, you know, fueled by mission, fueled by the desire for people to be saved, fueled by the desire for people to be discipled, is to rush on in and just start. And sometimes, you know, God has blessed that, but many times that hasn't produced a very healthy situation. Sometimes the temptation is to oversimplify things or to maybe have a very low view of the nature of the church. There's a lot of things. Our nature is to just want to jump right in and get right to it and to start creating. We would invite you to join us as we just want to slow down and think about this whole process, because we believe that God has given his church resources and we want to faithfully steward those resources. We want to approach church planning with wisdom and to see that and to recognize from really the church all around the world that there are ways that are healthy and ways that are not healthy in approaching church planting. And so again, first episode, this is all about just planning, making the case for why this season is important. Matt, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. Just kind of opening words there. So we always want to start with scripture. So where do we see this in scripture? Do we see any principles that would possibly guide our thinking, this important emphasis of slowing down and considering what it is we're entering into?
Yeah, I think I got a couple here. You know, one of the texts that I look at is from Luke 14. This is Jesus talking, and he's doing a lot of teaching here. And it's in the context of discipleship, you know, counting the cost of discipleship and all these things. But he gives an illustration here that I think is really valuable for a lot of aspects. You know, you can take principles from it, but picking up at verse 28 in chapter 14, he says, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and it is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So you have a situation here where Jesus is giving an illustration of just wise planning for a builder or for a king. It's just kind of common sense. And of course, we hear Jesus' illustration. And he's like, yeah, obviously. And so Matt, when you hear that text, you know, it presents this wise builder. What are the resources? What are the questions, the observations that you see in that passage related to this idea that we're getting at today?
I think this illustration obviously is rooted in, first and foremost, in discipleship. Jesus is saying, you know, Consider if you want to follow me, here's what it's going to take. Like, know that. Mm-hmm. But that principle extends to our life in ministry. Mm-hmm. And what really stands out to me is that word in my ESV says to mock. I think you said ridicule, that when there is failure in that, when someone doesn't consider what it's going to take to build something, and the world around will mock and ridicule and say, well, man, what are you entering into? What's going on here? So those resources of considering, well, what is God called us to? What is our mission actually? Because that also here in both these situations, there's a really clear identification of what the mission is, what success looks like. I think in ministry, sometimes we can get a little bit hazy on what that is, and that can cause a lot of issues with mm-hmm. that. So this is a really, really good.
Yeah, for sure. Matthew 7:2, end of the Sermon on the Mount, familiar text, kids' songs written about this, but the two foundations, right? Jesus is saying, everyone, this is verse 24 of chapter 7, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so again, the idea there is just foundations. Foundations matter. It matters what you build on. It matters what you build with, all these different aspects. And again, this is talking about Christ as a rock, salvation, all these illustrations. But I think as we think about the idea of starting a church, starting something that God has deliberately designed for his people all across the world, we should probably maybe slow down and figure out what that is. And we should probably slow down and really think through and plan the nature of these things and what does it take, and to really think ahead, just like a wise builder. Even though we know that Christ is the one who's building the church and uses his people, the word and sacraments, all those things, he uses people and he uses us. And so it's important for us to have wisdom as a master builder. And I know as people hear that, maybe I'll ask you, Matt, but there's pushback sometimes on this, and people say, well, hey, what about just sharing the gospel? You know, don't we just want to get people saved? And it seems like this is going to slow everybody down. And is that what we want too? Or what would you say to that?
Yeah, I think there's a tension here. And I think it's really important that we do, put our finger on that. Mm-hmm. There's also this principle of trusting God, right? We think of faith often as stepping out. Abraham called, he didn't know where he was going, but God comes and calls him. Or Noah was called to something he didn't understand totally, and he was called to engage in a task. Of course, in that case, God also gave him the plans for the ark. So maybe that's not a perfect illustration of that. But the point is, absolutely, there are situations, right? Faith is not opposed to planning. And I think that's a really important point, it's not faith is no planning and plans means you're walking in fear or you're not walking in faith. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a really good, again, I probably rather than putting it on that type of parallel spectrum, what we're saying is we want to be faithful stewards of what God has given to us. A better picture of not planning would be, are we just wasting money? Are we being frivolous with what God has given to us and just not being a good steward with it? I think that's maybe a better kind of parallel there. But when it comes to sharing the gospel, 100%, we share it with everybody. There's no one we should not share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with. And even there, because, don't cast pearls before swine. We need even the Spirit's leading in that. Maybe there are going to be situations where the Lord is like, this is a closed door, and this is a situation where Jesus told his disciples, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet, right? So there are these maybe tensions here where we have to hold both those together and walk in wisdom in that. And that's, I think, really what the invitation here is. Let's walk in wisdom. We're not saying there aren't going to be a lot of risk associated. We're not saying that, you know, we're going to be able to kind of plan and control the future. That's not at all here.
Right.
What we're simply saying is let's at least take the time to be wise stewards of what God has entrusted to us and to the church. That's really, it's a pretty simple argument that I think can be taken and almost blown out of proportion in multiple angles. We want to say like, well, here really what we're saying here.
Yeah, I think I'm just thinking back to an episode we did last year on ecclesiology and missiology, the study of the church, the study of mission, and how those two go together. And really, I think, what you were just saying there is kind of putting your finger on that. And, you know, our call is more than just simply evangelism. We are seeking to build a congregation where these disciples then are nurtured and cared for through the word and sacraments and all these things. And so there's a specific design that we are shooting for. And it's not just simply evangelism and moving on or disconnecting from this gift of the church. We really want everything to be connected because that's the design of God. That's not our idea, right? That also then requires some planning. I want to read something here. Pastor John Langness, my co-pastor here out at Shiloh, in some of his research, he came across this statement from the 1901 conference report. This is a little bit inside baseball, so if you're not part of the AFLC, this is still interesting, I hope, though. But this is from the 1901 conference report from the Lutheran Free Church, which is our predecessors, essentially who we are, from the Home Mission Committee. Okay, so really, really interesting. Extremely early on in their development and growth. And it was all in Norwegian, so he sent it to Pastor Brian Lund, great translator, Hebrew teacher at our seminary, and he translated this, and he sent it back to us last week. Super interesting, and it really fits into what we're talking about here, as it gives some principles for, you know, the home mission work of starting congregations within all these Norwegian immigrants and things like that. And so I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to highlight a couple things here. But one thing it says here in point number three, he said, is therefore not considered right to undertake anything in home mission work from external considerations of expediency if it is not in harmony with God's word. For the history of the church shows that a wrong beginning causes long-term and painful difficulties and major hindrances to the Lord's work. Fascinating. So there's a warning right right from the start here is it has to be in harmony with the word of God, right? And that brings us into all kinds of ideas on the church and everything else. But wrong beginnings matter, you know, and that's kind of our point here. And then it lays out kind of a really quick thing. If a mission pastor arrives in a place and he's nothing is there, no congregation, he doesn't just jump out and start one. He seeks to then do evangelism. He seeks to meet people and he seeks to build relationships. This is point number eight in this list here. He starts instructing people with the word of God and about the congregation, right? And only after such instruction then the mission pastor should help set the congregation up and organize a congregation. So you see this period of time where there are foundations being built, where there's planning, where there's people relationships, all these aspects, with the goal then always of a flourishing congregation, because that's the design of God. And just the warning that bad foundations can completely torpedo a good intent. Okay. And so again, this is part of our heritage. It's kind of just obvious. It's kind of common sense. Again, we approach everything in life this way. And so it makes sense that God has designed us to be that way. And we should also apply it to the nature of ministry. So Matt, let's shift gears a little bit. You know, we've kind of talked about just briefly creating the case on why this is important, but what happens when there aren't any foundations, or what happens when something is rushed or something is just without thinking, just like me sending my kid out, hey, go build something, go do it on the fly. You know, are there possible red flags there? Are there things that could hurt or affect the ministry? Like, what would you say to that?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think there's a lot that could be said there. And you know, talk to almost anyone who's been in the church, for long, and they see where churches can very easily misappropriate and not be wise in how they deploy their resources and how they use those for building the kingdom of God, right? I think one of the most heartbreaking to me is when I see people mm-hmm. who get hurt in the process of church right. planting or ministry. I just yeah. had someone visit us this week who grew up in the church, lifelong, you know, Christian, and he had a lot of stories of he was very embittered towards the church, and mm-hmm. It was really honestly really kind of off-putting, and it's sad and heartbreaking when people have stories right. of being hurt and abused by the church, and that can happen very commonly in church plants, right? They're very right. idealistic and optimistic, but you end up getting a lot of people together who there's a lot of loose pieces, and there's a lot of can be immature people or people who aren't even Christians yet who are part of yeah. these starting groups. And what happens is people can get, they work really hard. They can be asked to do like really hard things, and they get burnt out, and that can cause them to be embittered towards the church. Mm-hmm. If it's not being connected to, you know, why are we doing this? And if there's not someone who's overseeing it and saying, you know, maybe we need to pace it. Maybe we need other people using their gifts right. in here. So, I mean, there's a lot of practical factors in helping protect people. So I think that's a really big thing of starting in a way that you can actually think through and mm-hmm. talk with people who've been down that path. It's just like also learning from those who have gone before us. Let's talk yeah. to them. I think the same thing for protecting pastors, right? Like wisely deploying pastors. Again, this week chatted with a pastor friend, and he had a pastor mentor who all three of his kids had walked away from the faith. And in large part, what they attributed that to was how churches beat up on that family mm-hmm. as they were in ministry. Sad story. That shouldn't be the case at all.
Right.
So that can happen to any church, but it can especially happen in church planting situations right. because of what is required. So slowing down, making sure you have the yeah. building blocks in place can really help protect not only the people, the congregation, but also the leadership of that church, the pastor, his wife, and his kids. Mm-hmm. So we want to be really good stewards with those two things, especially as we enter into church planting. What yeah. I mean, there's other things we could talk about there as well.
I just like want to make
money.
Maybe,
like, what would you?
Well, I'll get to that. I think just want to make a comment about that too, because I think I hear oftentimes in the context of a, for example, a church plant closure or something, or you know, if there's many of them, oftentimes people will say, well-meaning, well, you know, God used it. It, you know, seeds are planted, and they'll try to, you know, they'll say those kind of statements to gospelize the situation. And I think that they're missing the point that in almost every one of those cases, people were fried, and this thing actually hurt people. And I've talked to people as well, pastors and lay people that are just burned out and are mad at the church. They're mad at those that sent them. They're disappointed with one another. Some of the times they don't even go back to a church. So it's really easy for us to say, yeah, well, let's just try it. And if it doesn't work, well, I'm sure seeds are planted. That is a very sort of, it's not a good approach, because it's playing yeah. with people, and it really can affect them long term as well. I think there's a number of other things related to this too, and I think you see that within the church planning world, where sometimes if without a lot of planning or a lot of thought and good health, that there can be manipulation that takes place. There can be abuse by people. You kind of referenced that abuse to the pastor, but obviously the pastoral abuse too. Because sometimes church plants attract strong leaders, and without healthy systems around them, accountability and networking and all those types of aspects and planning, it can go both ways. And so really what we're saying here is that planning and slowing down and surrounding a group with a plan and people really protects them, and it helps them to really live that gospel out and live that health out, which is so, so important for long-term health. And again, maybe something we haven't said yet, but our goal isn't to plant something that, you know, flames really bright for a year, two, three, or four, and then all of a sudden burns out. Our goal is to plant a long-term, lasting, healthy congregation. And that's also a massive part of setting our expectations right and doing the necessary planning. Just like a builder, he's not content with just building a quick shack to protect him from a rainstorm, right? He wants to build something that's going to be there for his kids, for the next generation. And I think that's really built into this whole discussion, is this long-term, the long game of a healthy, flourishing congregation. So you referenced the question of protecting other resources and finances, okay? So that's a huge thing. it costs money to plant churches, and every model is different. Some are more expensive than others, but everything's going to cost some kind of financial resources. And so again, with that goal of something that is long-term, something that is healthy, something that has the right systems in place, that is also a good use of kingdom resources. None of us want to give money to things that just burn out or flake out, right? But we don't want to waste that money. We want to steward those resources. I think we can point to a lot of parables in the Gospels where Jesus talks about stewarding finances and stewarding them well with wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. And with passion and truth. And so we want to protect money. We don't want to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in something that just flames out in a year or two as well because of poor planning. And so I think, I mean, you can talk a lot about resources with this issue as well. There's a few other angles here that we can talk about with why planning sort of protects the whole system. Talk about the reputation then of the church. How does slowing down and setting the right foundations protect the reputation of the church? What do you think?
Man, my mind goes right back to that Luke 14, 15 passage that you read earlier,
14,
where, again, that rebuking and mockery, like those around see it come to, it fail. And it's not because it fails. Like, that's the interesting thing in that passage. It's because they didn't plan, right? That's kind of like, right. Well, they should have seen that coming. Like, they should have. Yeah. So absolutely, like the reputation, what is our heart is, right, that the gospel would go forward, but our heart, right, is to present the glory and the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And that can be sullied in all types of ways. Satan is working so hard to sully that reputation of Christ, whether it be, sin within our lives, like that is something that can bring dishonor and disrepute to the name of Jesus Christ into the church, or attacking, you get fights happening within the church. I think a lot of that can be the influence of like our flesh, the world around us is encouraging that, the devil, demonic attack. Satan wants nothing more than to destroy the reputation of the church. So I think that all this is saying, like, will we be perfect? No. Will there be sin? Absolutely. Right. We are sinners saved by grace. Praise be to God. So we're not going to be perfect, but if there are wise things we can do to help protect from, right, that sin getting a foothold in our lives and in our churches and in our systems, man, let's be faithful to do that work. So I think there's a lot of implications here for this, like planning a case for it. So I'm thinking, okay, so we made this case, here we should slow down. Let's take some time to walk through the process. Let's take the time to learn from others who have gone before us. I think once, this is kind of explained, most people are like, oh yeah, absolutely. We want to do that. So maybe could you give us just a little snapshot as we're wrapping up here? Where are we going? So what are we going to do this season, our second season, these blueprints? Could you just walk us through like real high level? What are the major steps that we're going to be going through?
Yeah. And so again, just kind of, it's good to point out even before I give the steps here that what we're going to be dealing with this season is not going to be designed for one specific model. We're hoping that is going to be application in every model. And so with that, then we're going to try to be kind of high level and drill down on some things, but also not like just focus on one specific area over another or a specific context. And so in that way, we're hoping it'll be, applicable. There's going to be bleed between each of these components. Again, church planning is not this perfect little sequential step-by-step process. There's always give and take and there's carryover and things like that. But we're going to start with the first main category of just exploration, right? So if you are a person or a small group or a congregation that is just starting to think, wow, God's call for the church is to make disciples and to reach people. And he uses the congregation. That's his number one mission plan, right? The congregation. So we should be about planting congregations. And so they just are right at the beginning of trying to figure this out. There's an exploration phase where there's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of study. There's a lot of research, a lot of assessment. You're just really trying to decide, what do we have in each of these contexts? It's going to look differently, obviously. But it's a time to slowly go across the whole thing and just start planning and looking at, is God calling us to do this? Is God opening the door to us? Do we have the people? Do we have the right motivations? Do we have all these systems that can be put in place to do this? And maybe by the end of that process, that might be a year long. It might be 6 months. I don't know. Might be longer. Maybe God is saying, nope, this isn't right. Or maybe I want you to partner with planting somewhere else. Maybe it's a yellow light where he says, yeah, I just keep working, keep praying. Or maybe it's green, like go for it. But that exploration phase is so important. There's so much discernment that takes place during that, which then moves into that next phase of planning. And that's going to be really where those nuts and bolts come in. This is where you're going to start thinking about your DNA, your culture, and your values. You know, that's such an important thing, because if you don't know what you're trying to build, if you don't know what the end goal is, well, you're most likely going to end up building something all over the map. And this is one of the problems that we do see in church planning, is that without a lot of identity and focus on culture, that there can be a lot of theological confusion. There can be a lot of poor discipleship and unhealthy discipleship, simply because the church really has no idea who they are, and they don't know how to form those things in the people. And so this is a planning time where you're really setting out your identity, and you're setting out how you're going to minister to people, your philosophy of ministry and all those types of things, so planning. And then you're going to actually start growing. That's the next phase, right? Where you start, you're going and you're meeting people and you're building relationships with people, and you have your rhythms every day and all those different types of things, and you're meeting for Bible studies. But that's the whole growing phase of just getting to know people, just like the LFC, you know, when that mission pastor arrived and nothing was there, he's just evangelizing. He's getting to know people. And finally, then when there is that group of people, there's that launch time, and you're worshiping weekly, and you're building that congregation as the scripture defines it, word and sacrament ministry. But you see those things. There's so many aspects under each of those components that we're going to get to, but that's kind of just a very high level process, I guess, through the nature of planning, blueprints of planning. Anything you want to add to that?
And no, that's really good. I'm excited to jump into all those steps. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, yeah, these are not sequential, but there's overlap between them. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm also thinking about this, like, the second season that we're entering into, I am just so hopeful for the future of the AFLC. I have so much hope. What the Lord has given to us as a church body, right? Mm-hmm. As part of his greater church, what we have to share with our missionary context, specifically in home missions in USA, and that we have these resources and this depth and this treasure of the gospel and the sacraments that we have to bring and share and invite people into the life of God. And you know what we're going to be going through in this season, it really is going to be applicable, not just to brand new church planters, but honestly, even to people who are in ministry now, churches that are wanting to revitalize. Right. Like, there's going to be some questions that will really be beneficial, I believe, to you as well, as you are seeking to continue to polish those treasures that the Lord has given to you to share with those people in your community. So I'm very excited about this season as we jump into this.
Yeah, great final word. So thanks for joining us today, and we're excited to go forward with this series. If you enjoy the show, please help us out. Subscribe to it, share it, tell people, hey, this is what I'm learning. Talk about it with your small groups, your church, or whatever, your friends. That's going to help us keep producing good, helpful content. If you're curious to learn more about church planning within the Free Lutheran Church, go to our website or contact us at aflchomemissions.org. We'll see you next time.